You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is Good Morning Liberty.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to another fantastic episode of the Good Morning Liberty Podcast. I'm one of the hosts here, Charles Chuck Thompson, with me as always, the one who knows just about everything there is to know, but not everything, Mr. Nathaniel Paul Thurston. How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good, man. How are you doing today?
Oh, Freaky Friday. It's one of my favorite days of the week.
It's
a sad day, but a good day.
Because
it's freaky.
You got to wait until Monday to take any more trades. Mm-hmm. You just got to wait all weekend.
Unless you've been trading that crypto, man.
Yeah, I guess you could trade crypto.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You one of them Bitcoin millionaires?
No, I never got into the hype over all that stuff. I've got a little bit of Chainlink right now, but I'm not trying to make a living off of it or anything like that.
How many chains do you usually wear?
As many as I can, man. I got my chains on even when I'm in the house. So,
and they're all linked.
Yeah. I wear every single chain even when I'm in the house. So,
but as we mentioned, this is the Good Morning Liberty Podcast, a place where we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning, which means, we talk a lot about politics and economics, but also how does that apply to your life? And then what's the personal responsibility of on your part, despite what's going on in the political realm, to pursue that life of meaning, because happiness is just fleeting. I think the founders got it wrong. I think they really did. They got it wrong on happiness, because there are going to be times where you're not happy. Trust me. There are plenty of times.
And if your pursuit is always happiness, then there's going to be a lot of times where you're going to be disappointed. You will be unhappy and you'll feel like there's no point in going on because I'm not happy. I just got to pursue happiness.
And I'm not fear mongering here, but if you're happy right now, just wait. It's coming. Something's going to happen. And you know
what? That's a rather bleak outlook, Charlie. But, it really is.
Well, but the thing about it is taking personal responsibility to pursue a life of meaning is what gets you through the hard times so that you can enjoy the good times even more. So that's what we talk about. And today's another great day. Another reason why it's a great day is because we have the Jason Stapleton on the program today. So excited about that. Another guy who talks a lot about personal responsibility and freedom. He's got a new book out called Nomadic Wealth. So we're going to be talking about that and catching up. We had him on the podcast a few months ago. So catching up with Jason Stapleton, see what he's been up to lately.
Yeah, very excited about this one. So without any more wait, without further ado, we'll bring in Jason Stapleton.
What does ado mean?
I don't know. I heard it's a figure of speech, Charlie. I'm not going to give you any more ado. There's not going to be any further of it at all. There's no further ado.
Here we go.
All right, guys, we are here with the one and only Jason Stapleton from Wealth, Power, and Influence. He's got a new book out called Nomadic Wealth, which we've been reading over the past week or so. And I know Charlie's just been getting real deep ingrained in there. What do you think so far, man?
I'm just getting all nice and deep like.
Jason, how are you feeling today so far? Well, actually, I'm sorry to ask you that question, but how's it going today, man?
I'm doing good. I'm a lot better now. This morning, I thought I was going to die this morning. It's the weirdest thing. I have this chiropractor who's also a physical therapist, a massage therapist, and she comes to you, like she'll do house calls. And so I have her come over every other week or so, and just kind of work on my back and neck because I'm old. And something about, she's doing this cupping thing recently where she suction cups my back. And I thought it was the stupidest thing ever, but it releases some sort of toxins or something in my body, because if I drink any alcohol, like any, after I do a session with her, not only do I have a zero tolerance, but I have like the worst hangover. So I had to go out last night and had a birthday party with a friend of mine. And I just had a couple of drinks and I was just sloshy. And I came home, passed out, woke up this morning with the worst hangover. I'm like, you know, that when you're sick to your stomach, it was awful. And I'm like, what is going on? And that's the only thing I can point to. And it happens every time she comes over. So and every time, of course, I forget and then I'm miserable. So this morning was a rough show, but I'm better now.
You talked about Nashville today, which is where we're from. And we were talking about that story yesterday, just a crazy story. But what else are you going to expect? You know, you can't really depend on people in power to tell you the truth all the time. That's been
no. I said, dude, is it shocking to anybody that a political figure lied and deceived the public for their own gain? Like, is this shocks anybody? Yeah. Oh, I'm appalled.
I can't believe
I'm shocked
this.
To find gambling in this establishment.
Oh, what do we do about this? Oh, just hide it.
Oh, just get a new politician in there, actually. That'll fix everything.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, all right, man. Well, you got a new book. You got a new book out called Nomadic Wealth. And
I do. Who knew?
Who knew about that? And so if you want, tell us a little bit about what the idea is behind that and how that's going to help us actually achieve our libertarian dreams. This is a political podcast here. So, but maybe we're not going to do that through making sure we get the right people in power. Maybe we can do that a different way.
I have been, you and I, you guys and me have been on the same side of this fight to kind of like increase individual liberty and economic freedom. And for many, many years, in my personal life, I followed a set of principles about being free and about the importance of accumulating wealth. So, and owning my own business and all of that, just trying to live my values. The whole don't hurt people, don't take their stuff, be self-sufficient. I won't be a burden to you and you don't be a burden to me. And then we'll cooperate or compete based on, you know, what's most opportunistic for each of us at the time, right? So for many years, I did a podcast that talked about the politics, the economics, and the principles behind that. And what I realized was that I wasn't having very much effect on political change in the country. And as I looked back in history, I didn't see very many people have a real political impact. And so I started reevaluating kind of what it means to be free and understanding and kind of redefining what liberty looks like and how we get it in our own lives. And I came up with this idea. There's an old term called digital nomad. It's not that old because digital nomad's relatively new, but it's this idea that I can work from a laptop from anywhere in the world. And it's really designed and was created. The term was used more for freelancers. So people who could get work from anywhere in the world, but they could do that work on a laptop computer. And I took that concept of digital nomad and I said, well, how do we create like first nomadic income, excuse me, and then later nomadic wealth? So, and I start talking about the tenets of what it means to be free. What do you have to have in order for freedom to exist? And, you know, you need mobility, opportunity, and an acceptance of risk. And so when I sat down and sort of write some of these ideas down, the next thing I knew, I'd written 40 pages. And so I said, you know what, let me just turn this into a book and see if I can't use this to promote some of the ideas that I believe in. And I don't know how long you guys have been following my show, but you know, if you go back a few years ago, I kind of changed the direction of my show and I stopped talking a lot about politics and I stopped feeding that animal. And it was the best decision for me and my show. Because it more closely aligned with what I think my real values are, which is, listen, wealth is a necessary component of freedom. You ought to want as much money and as much power and as much influence over your life and over others as you can get. And if you are a good and honest and decent person who believes in the principles that we do, then we ought to be trying to help each other get as much of that stuff as we can. And so that's what the book is really about. It's how to create predictable and sustainable income from anywhere on earth. And the idea is, if I can increase my income, it makes it easier to save and invest. And if I control the source of that income and make that income as mobile as possible, then I stand the greatest chance of achieving maximum liberty in my own life, or what I call total autonomy. And so that's really what the book's about. And I appreciate you having me on to talk about it, because it's all of the ideas that I've had over the last couple of years put into, 102 page book or whatever it ends up being, whatever it was.
Yeah. And you know, it's because what is the political realm made up of? You know, you were talking about how you kind of transitioned. Well, it's just made up of people. And so a lot of people think, well, libertarian is some utopian idea. It's never going to work. How do you make it work? And the thing that you talk about the most, I think, is taking that personal responsibility and then living out that personal responsibility. And so I think it's really cool that you kind of articulated all that, put it down in a book and be like, not only is it possible, but and not only have I done it, but you can do it too. And that's a lot what we talk about as well. I mean, we still dig in and feed the animal a little bit, I'd say, on the political side, because we like it a lot. But, you know, it's really that personal responsibility, because it's deeper than politics. It's about the individual.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you and I probably look at politics largely the same way. I view it more as a sport than like a life or death sort of decision that
we
make.
I watch
it more for the characters than anything else. I don't actually believe that the next election is going to affect my life all that much one way or the other. I think where we run into problems is when we as kind of figureheads for the brand, so to speak, begin to overly weight the importance of politics, and we start laying blame for our own failures or for the failures of others on the fact that some sort of external force, some political party or some person's vote is somehow keeping me from getting what I want in life. When in reality, your biggest enemy is you. Getting what you want isn't always easy, but it is within your control. And I think I was doing a huge disservice to my audience for the first 4 or 5 years that I did the show by not talking more about living the values, about really, if you say you want freedom, you say you want autonomy, you say you want liberty, then live it in your own life. Don't just talk it. Don't be on forums and chat rooms and all that stuff while you're still living in your mom's basement. Like, actually get out and live your values. And if you want people to listen to you, be somebody worth listening to. Demonstrate to them by the way you live and by what you've achieved that your way of doing things, your way of thinking is better. And that's what that's what I'm trying to do now with this. I don't know if you call it a movement, but with this concept of nomadic wealth.
And so you talked a lot about being able to generate income and a sustainable and predictable income. And how would you differentiate that with wealth? So you make the income and you can find a way to make the money. How do you turn this into actually having wealth, and how do you see those things differently?
Yeah. So, I mean, income is what we generate from the work that we do. So the greater the income, the easier it is to save and invest. It's really hard if you make minimum wage and you're trying to feed a wife and two kids on that. It's almost impossible for you to build wealth. You don't have the income necessary. Every dollar that you have ends up going to pay for some necessity. And so raising your income is really important. And there are ways that we do that. Increasing your human capital is the number one thing. Learning new skills, learning more valuable skills, rare and specialized knowledge, those types of things pay a premium. Second thing is building a brand, having a reputation as someone who should be listened to, should be respected. That also helps you increase what you can charge for what you do. The more you control that income, meaning entrepreneurship, the greater freedom you're going to have. But once you have built a decent income, now we move over to wealth. And wealth, it can be measured a lot of different ways. A lot of people think, well, that's the money that I have in my investment accounts. That's the passive income that's generated through those investments or through other property that I buy. For me, I try and look at wealth differently. Wealth in my mind is measured in time, not in dollars. And so for your listeners, the way you determine how much wealth you have is you say, okay, if I lost all of my income today, not my investments, but if my income stopped, how long could I live before I had to start changing my lifestyle, before I had to start making cuts and rolling back some, shut the cable off, whatever it is? How long is that? Is it a day? Is it a week? Is it 6 months? Whatever time period that is, that's how much wealth you have. You have 6 months of wealth. You have a year of wealth. You got 10 minutes of wealth, right? And so my idea is I want to create a life where my income can be generated from anywhere on earth, where that income ceiling is unlimited, and where I can then begin to move that into other savings and investments that aren't bound by nation or by nationality or location. And that's when you truly become free. When you can finally say, I don't need anybody for anything. And I it's not that we don't need friends and relationships. That's not what I'm getting at. When you're beholden to no one, when no one can hold anything over you, we used to call it FU money. when you have that, you're free. And when that income is transferable, if I can leave the country tomorrow and be up and running with my business the next day in Italy, in Rome, and I don't lose a beat, man, that's real freedom. And so I basically, in the book, what I try to do is show people, give people a roadmap to that and show them, hey, here's conceptually how it works. Here's what you need to do to get started. And then that's kind of where I close out the book. I said, this path is really well worn. Like, there's lots of people who have done this and more people are doing it every day. And all you got to do is follow this path. And that's where I kind of leave people at the end of the book. And so I hope that people are inspired to get out there and try and create a little bit more freedom in their own lives rather than waiting around for their government to unleash the shackles or loosen the shackles mm-hmm. around their hands.
And hell, in 10 or 20 years, I mean, you may be able to, you know, operate your business from the moon or Mars or something like that.
We'll see. For sure. Yeah. Whatever Elon decides to do, we'll
screw
see.
Screw the earth. I'm going to run this ship from moon to moon.
The SEC is not on the moon, right. So we're going to go over there. Yeah. did you start writing this book before the pandemic and the lockdown started? Or was it afterwards?
No, I started it. So let's see, when the pandemic hit and it looked like everything was going to shut down, and you saw people really, the stock market took a huge dump. I left town. I left Los Angeles and I rented a beautiful home in Palm Springs. And I spent a week or two out there. I can't remember, just hanging out. And I taught a class to a bunch of people on how to trade currencies. And I showed people, hey, how to invest their money. And I said, if this downturn, because I was calling for a collapse, and I said it was predictable. You could see it. If you knew how to read a chart, you could see that it was going to fall apart. And I was teaching people that course over that couple of weeks that we were there. And then when I came back, I sat down, I said, dude, I've been preaching this for 2 years that people need to control their income. They need to start their side hustles because eventually we're going to go into a recession and everybody who feels safe isn't going to be safe anymore. And I was sitting around here's the short end of the story. I was sitting around and it came to me, this concept of nomadic wealth, and I immediately started writing the ideas down and I wrote the book in about a month. But I do a lot of what I call scheming, which is a lot of me just sitting around reading and jotting down notes and coming up with ideas and going on long walks. The bulk of my like really intensive work is spent just or my of my day is spent sitting around just thinking about stuff, which again is a pretty cool way to make a living. But that's when I wrote the book. I wrote it in about a month right here in this room at the computer right over at that desk.
Ground zero. All right. I can't think of a more important idea. You see all these people losing their incomes, losing the jobs, losing health insurance, losing all kinds of things, and they're basically tied down to what their government's going to allow them to do, or whether or not their business can survive this lockdown. And you talk a lot about how people go towards safety all the time, and they think that having the 9-to-5 is really safe. And I think this year has proven, if anything, that your 9-to-5 is not really safe. Someone who's safe is someone like you, who probably didn't really matter whether or not we went into a lockdown.
In the book, I'm safer than most people. That's for sure. I've been blessed to make a good living doing what I love, and I get to wake up every day and do what I love. But I'm strategically positioned with the type of business that I have, which is an information business. My business has very high profit margins. It can be run from anywhere on earth. I get to spend every day helping other people get what they want, which I love doing. I think information businesses are really the very best businesses in the world to be in. I just can't think of anything else that provides a better quality of life than this. And I try and convince as many people as I can to go that route, because we're going to need it. Our education system, and I talk a little bit about this in the book, is just in shambles. And what we're going to see in the future is a secondary education that doesn't happen at a college. It happens in small online courses that people take from actual experts who are doing the thing that they want to learn how to do, whether it's a hobby or whether it's rocket science. It's going to be happening online in courses from people who have been doing it for decades. And the more people that we can get doing that, the quicker we'll solve the education crisis and problems that we have in this country.
I think there's, two reasons why people, well, there's probably more, but at least two, solid reasons why people don't succeed in entrepreneurship or whatever they want to do to create their nomadic wealth. And the first one is risk. And so you talk about in the book, you ask the question, what is the safest place on earth? And you go into detail about what that is. So talk a little bit about risk and then what people consider to be safe and what that actually gets you.
Yeah, I think so. When I talk about risk, I say, what's the safest place on earth? I say, well, it's probably in a maximum security prison that's located a mile under the earth, where you're locked down 24 hours a day. And, it can be really, really tough for you to get hurt in a padded cell, right? That's kind of like I think of as the safest place on earth. Well, anytime we make you a little less safe or apply a little bit of risk, you gain a little bit of freedom. And everyone, your listeners probably understand this concept of, hey, as freedom, as liberty expands, what's the old saying? As government expands, liberty contracts, right? So we get the more laws, the more regulation, the less freedom of movement, the less liberty we have. And so when I talk about risk, there are two different kinds of risk. There is there's known and calculated risk, and then there's there's unknown risk. And the problem is most people are choosing secure safety. They're choosing what they believe to be safety and security, when in fact what they're doing is exposing themselves to a massive amount of risk that they can't control. See, I could go bankrupt tomorrow, right? I could lose all my clients. They could change the laws on me. I mean, there could be some things that would really put a knot in me and my business. But the thing is I control all of that. Like, I control the products that I sell. I control the clients that I work with. Like, I'm in control of as much of my business as is humanly possible. And because of that, I'm both aware of all the risks, and I'm in a position to make changes when I see those risks appear or when I see problems arise. For people who are working a 9-to-5 job, and 40 million of them found this out over the last 6 months, you're in control of nothing. Like, you show up, you are completely dependent upon your boss to give you a job, to make sure the paycheck is there, to provide for the medical insurance, all of that stuff. And in the snap of a finger, you can have all of that go away. It's a really, really scary thing when you think about it, just how little control you have over your own life when you don't control the income, where it comes to you and how it comes to you, and you don't control the processes that run behind it. So it is, while a lot of people think that they're safe, they're really putting themselves at much greater risk than I am. People think that I got a lot of risk in my business and in my life. I just don't see it that way because I get to control all of it.
I think what a lot of people don't realize is that you'll feel, I feel a lot more fulfilled. I find a lot more meaning when I'm actually working towards something rather than if I just had something. I've always been someone that said I would rather live in a cardboard box than just go get a 9-to-5. Now, that's not a knock on anyone who has 9-to-5 and is perfectly happy with it. There takes all types of people, you know? But are you that kind of person that when you are working towards something, it's better? Because I found when I got to the goal that I set out and I thought it was going to be amazing and I was going to be happy, that was not it. I needed a new goal after that. I needed something new to work on after that.
That's a good question. So this is the way I look at it. First of all, I don't think there's anything as like happily ever after. I talk about it briefly in the book as well. I think a lot of people think once they have a thing or they achieve a certain status in life that they'll everything will be fine and they'll be happy, and they find out that they're not. I look at business and the work that I do as a feeder for the other parts of my life and things I want to do. So a lot of people work Monday through Friday so that they can live it up on the weekends. They work so that they can fish. I had a guy who I used to work with at an auto body shop who he loved fishing. And that's all he did. All he wanted to do all day long was fish. Talked about fishing all the time. And he worked at the auto body shop working on cars so that he could fish on the weekends and he could take off and go to fishing tournaments. Well, I'm in a little different position because I wake up every day and I engage in work that I find really fulfilling and really interesting. But the money I make from that is used to feed my life. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs make the mistake of letting a business run them. So they want to make a lot of money, and they do, but then they're forced to work at this business all the time and they don't have a life outside of that. And they miss out on the experience of living life because they're caught in the mindset that, oh, as soon as my business is doing $10 million a year in revenue, or as soon as I'm making $500,000 a year in income, then all of a sudden, then I'll slow down, then I'll settle down and I'll start doing, you know, I'll enjoy it. But they don't end up doing that. And so for me, the only time that I am, the biggest problem for me is that when my company is doing really well and I'm really flush, I tend to not want to work. I tend to just want to go goof off because I got lots of things I like doing. And so I found that I have to get the money out of my bank account as quick as I can and stay as poor and as humbled as possible. Now, I don't mean I just spend all the money. But what I mean is I get it into other investments. I reinvest it in the business. I do something so that I'm not just sitting on mountains and mountains of cash going, well, you know what? I don't have to work for the rest of the year. So I just don't think I will. Certainly somebody can do that if they wanted to. But for me, I try and stay hungry so that I can push myself. And we all got to find a way to do that, especially when you're the one who's accountable to you. It's not like, it's interesting because when you know as well as I do, entrepreneurship means, dude, nobody's looking over my shoulder. If I don't want to work today, I don't have to. And if I got enough money to live for the next 2 or 3 years without working and making a single penny, man, I might do that. So it's like I got to keep myself motivated so that I don't end up just being lazy for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I feel like that the really important part of that would be if you're doing something that you're really passionate about, that'll get you out of bed in the morning and get you to do something. You know, we could do that too. We spend a lot of time on the podcast and on the website, and we also run a trading class and then another business as well. But the really passion projects are the trading and the podcast. And to me, I don't really see those as work. You know, I'm sure you've had this happen before, but, you know, my wife will be like, oh, you've been working on this stuff a whole lot. And I'm like, I'm not working right now. I'm looking at stock charts. This doesn't work.
Oh, no. My fiance said the same thing this week because I've just been buried this week. We got a big campaign we're launching on Monday. We've been launching it this week, but it starts on Monday. And I've been in this room 12, 14 hours a day for the entire week. And I don't notice. She's like, man, I haven't seen you at all. I'm like, yeah, well, I've been kind of been buried for a little while, but it's not work to me. It is, you know, it's not gallivanting around the world, just eating at fancy restaurants and laying by the pool. But dude, it's interesting. It's fun work. It's stuff I love doing. And I feel, dude, I had a conversation. I had interviewed somebody on my podcast that it hasn't aired yet. But one of the things that she said was, she said, you know, I almost felt guilty about pursuing, you know, fulfilling work, because so many people, she was raised by immigrants and she was a first generation American. And she said, you know, my family, it was, you do the work that you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to enjoy it. It's work, you know? And she's like, I really feel kind of guilty about choosing something that I'm passionate about and that fulfills me as a person. And I said, man, I would be angry at you if you didn't choose something that was fulfilling, because that's something we have the ability to do in 2020. For the first time in our lives, we have the ability to choose work that really matters to us, that we find fulfilling and engaging. And man, if you don't do that, if you choose somebody else's path for your life, and you're walking around today doing work you don't love with people who don't inspire you, shame on you. Because you don't have to live like that. You are wasting some of the most valuable years of your life doing unfulfilling work with terrible people. And unfortunately, that message will not resonate with everybody. But I'm only interested in talking to the people that it does. And if it does resonate with you or your audience, then dude, I'll help you do it. I'll help you get that life. It's really exciting.
Yeah, we call that pursuing a life of meaning. So
yeah.
You know, on this podcast, we talk about life, liberty, and meaning, because without pursuing something meaning, because happiness is not always going to be there. But if you're pursuing something meaningful, something that you either enjoy doing or something that is like honoring or whatever it is that's fulfilling, then you're going to have a reason to get out of bed every day. I think I'm a lot like you, Jason, and Nate will probably tell you this in the fact that I'm the same way with, you know, there are times where if something's due, like on Monday, I do have something big due, so I'm going to be working this weekend. But other times when something's not due, I'm like, hey man, I'm going to go play golf today. And like, let's go out to dinner and I'm going to take this vacation. And then like, I'll probably be working, you know, 24 or 30 hours this weekend because there's something big due on Monday.
Do you take a lot of brain breaks? Do you take a lot of time off?
That's what I call them, brain breaks.
I do. Like I like living the life that I see. I think a lot of people present a life of luxury and a life of, you know, like I said, nomadic wealth. We travel around, you do whatever you want to do. A lot of people present that image. But they don't actually live that life. I like living that life. So I'll take off and sometimes I still work, but we'll go and travel around. I'll take 3 or 4 days off and we'll go. I like short periods, short breaks where I completely disconnect. So I cannot sit around for more than probably four or five days and not do anything. I will absolutely lose my mind. And so what I try and do is I try and take these like long weekends, like a 3-day weekend, and we'll go to, you know, we'll go to Arizona, or we'll go to New York, or we'll do something like that. And we'll just take a complete detachment from work. But beyond that, because I'm forced to stay hungry, I got to go back to work. But more importantly, I think I'd just go stir crazy if I didn't.
Yeah. I think you need to be able to find a good balance. Well, not you, but people listening need to be able to find a good balance between guys like you and Charlie, who and then me, who I cannot stop working. Yeah. I can't take brain breaks. I will not stop. If I'm watching something, even if we watch a movie, I've got to have my laptop out working on something, or I'm on my phone tweeting. Or okay. And if something did really well, say everything's going really well, I would need to start another thing that wasn't going well so I can make it go well after that.
So So do you not deal with burnout then? Like, is that something that you don't?
Yes, you do. No, No, I have to actually force him. So Nate and I have been best friends for a long time, and we're really good business partners. I actually have to force him to take breaks, because I'm like, eventually you get to that point. No one can work 20 hours a day for, you know, 10 years. So eventually you get to that point, and I'm like, hey, man, here's a gift card. Go see a movie by yourself, because Nate likes doing that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I really, you know, I appreciate that. I needed that.
I think that you're more likely to get burned out on things that you don't, that you're not really passionate about. I definitely see that. I flipped houses for a while, and I was working 18 hours a day for several years. And I definitely got burned out doing that, but I was working my butt off the whole time. When I'm doing this, I don't get burned out doing the trading class. I don't get burned out doing anything having to do with the Liberty movement whatsoever. Decided I was going to start writing a book for both the trading part and the Liberty part, mm-hmm. because you know, you just need to, I don't know. I'm not saying it's the perfect way to do things. It's just, I'm just kind of recognize the way that my brain works. And I actually get more stressed when I take that time off, because I'm not doing those things.
Yeah, that's the reason I ask, is because I know that some guys work like that. Like some guys, they get depressed. They can't shut off. They don't want to shut off. I was able to run basically in the red for about 6 or 7 years when I started my first company before I really hit a wall. And it was pretty ugly, just in terms of, I didn't want to go into the office. I didn't want to do anything. I shifted a bunch of work to other people, and I spent probably 6 months just kind of poking around doing nothing. And so I thought I could run like that. And I did it for several years, but then I collapsed. And so I've organized my life a little bit differently now, and I hope I got more balance. I know I have more balance, but I'm a lot happier now too.
Yeah, I think I'm going on, let's see, when did we first start touring and all that, Charlie? You know, for several of the years we were traveling around the world, and maybe that counts as taking some time off too. But
right.
I've talked a lot of times on the podcast about how I messed up while we were traveling playing music, because I never enjoyed any of it. I was always working on the next thing all the time. And if we got to some really big milestone, I immediately set my sights on what the next milestone was and would never stop and appreciate anything. So I definitely think that there's got to be a fine line there.
Yeah, there has to be that balance of the hunger and the desire. You know, like one thing, you know, people always talk about retirement, and I'm like, retirement? Like, I don't want to retire. There's something I always want to be doing. I always want to be pursuing something meaningful. You know, even if I make all the money in the world, then it's like, I want to be able to do something meaningful with my life, because a lot of people retire. They, you know, they got their 401k and they, you know, they become a millionaire when they're 65 or 70, and then they retire and they die 5 years later because they don't have anything else to do.
I feel like retirement is death. My mom is in a position where she's like, she can't wait to retire, but she spent 50 years, 40 years doing work that she didn't really want to do. And I'm like, dude, what would I do if I stopped working? Like, honestly, like I'm lazy for a period of time if I don't put myself in a position to need to work. But at the same time, man, I can't imagine anything less fulfilling than waking up every day and knowing that there's nothing for you to do that day.
Yeah.
Like I'd just kill me now.
Right.
Retirement sounds terrible right now, because I do something I'm passionate about every day. So I'm like, man, I'm really looking forward to this day where I no longer do what I'm passionate about doing. You know, that doesn't sound good. Really? No, it doesn't sound good at all. So folks, if you're interested in day trading, you know, Charlie and I, we get up every single day and we start taking trades in the market. I cannot tell you just how fun, how exciting it is to get up and go through the market and to look at what's going on, what the price action is. We have got a training course just for you. If you have never traded, don't even know a word yet when it comes to the stock market, you can go to this course and start learning how to use a charting platform. You can start learning how to place trades, what the strategies we use every single day are. So that's mastermytrades.com or mastermystonks.com.
And it's not even just a course, Nate. This is the academy. This is the Liberty Trading Academy, where it's really a community of people, because as long as you sign up for the pre-market live, I mean, there we are constantly helping people. We do one-on-one. You can ask questions. We love to have your questions and answer those. So this is an entire community. You're definitely getting you're getting the most for your money.
We also trade live throughout the day. So as long as there are trades that we feel like taking, then we'll keep the live stream going after the pre-market. We'll pick out what trades we like starting a half an hour before the market opens. We pick out what we like, what price points we like, what the profit targets are, what the stop losses are for those trades. And then we keep trading live as long as there are things that we like. And we try to exercise all the patience in the world. And sometimes you don't have to take a trade. You know, that's okay. It's okay to not take a trade some days, but you can go sign up for the live pre-market, the live trading option at mastermystonks.com. And oh, by the way, if you want 20% off for 2 months, you can use the promo code 20stonk. It's Charlie's birthday month. And in honor of his 20th birthday, we are doing a 20. I don't know why it had to do with your birthday.
I get
month.
Older I just, and then younger.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I don't know what Charlie's age is. He still won't tell me. And I know that he's mid-40s, right? Mid-40s? Something like that? No, I don't know. I don't know what it is. So use the promo code 20stonk. You get 20% off for 2 months after you go to mastermystonks.com.
Or mastermytrades.
Either one. They both go to the same place. Some people, they don't know how to spell stonk. And obviously, I recommend, if you can't spell stonk, maybe this isn't for you, honestly. It's, you know... There are some people who this isn't going to work out for. Trading's not for everyone. It took me a while to convince Charlie that this was going to be his new obsession. Charlie, is this your new obsession?
Yeah, I do obsess over it.
Yeah. I mean, just all the time, just sitting around.
I'm looking at charts right now.
Literally right now, as we're doing the ad, you're watching charts.
Got six of them up.
Just watching charts. So if you think this might be for you, then go to mastermystonks.com. Use the promo code 20stonk to get 20% off. Mash my songs. I wanted to talk about the difference between someone who just has a business, has some income, and someone who's, we'll talk about the nomadic part, the important part about being able to move around. Because you could have a business in your town or something like that, and you could be making some money, but you are kind of confined. What, you know, is it important to always stay dangerous, to be able to stay mobile?
I for me it is, and for the very reason that we see now with COVID is a great example of it, because there's lots of shopkeepers and owners who now have been told by their governments that they can't operate anymore. It's a dangerous situation to be in. Say for example, and a lot of people don't think this is possible. I think it's very possible that we could go the way of Venezuela. Venezuela, a generation ago, was one of the wealthiest nations in that part of the world, and they had the greatest oil reserves on the planet. And they went from being one of a great country to live in and visit to being an absolute train wreck. And all the wealthy people left. But if you have a business here, and let's say you own a pizza shop, right? And you've managed to open up 8 or 10 or 20 pizza shops across the nation or across the state. And dude, you're doing well. Like you got $100 million company, everything's working, you're looking at franchising. And then all of a sudden, man, America just goes to hell. Well, what are you supposed to do now? You could pick up and you could go try and start again in another country, but you're literally starting from scratch. You leave all of that behind. With the business that I run and other businesses like mine, is that I can very easily move where I live, my operation from California to New Zealand, and I'm not going to lose a single client. I'm not going to lose a single customer. I'm not going to lose a dollar in revenue during that transition, because my business is mobile. And there are very few businesses where you can do that and run a legit business. There's a consulting businesses. There are coaching businesses. There's trading and investing, which you guys do. And then there's real estate. And so I talk a little bit about a few of those in the book, and I explain why some of them are good and some of them are bad for creating nomadic wealth. And I just said, you know, for me, having the ability to make my business mobile from anywhere not only gives me travel freedom, the ability to move and work while I'm moving, but if things really do go bad, I can move my entire business overnight to another country and there'll be no loss of revenue.
Yeah. So you've been working from home for a while. Yeah, all these people that are like, oh, Zoom and Microsoft Teams, what is all this? And like, wow, yeah. Been doing it for like 5-6 years now.
No, the only thing that's changed in my life is that my fiance is home all day, every day. So, you know, I'm not all alone for the bulk of my time. And that's, that's something that is, I think, I don't have to work that way. Like I could very easily rent office space and show up at an office and have my team come into the office. I could do that if I wanted to. I just don't want to. I kind of like the solitude of the work that I do. But if you are a terrible extrovert and you don't want to sit in a room by yourself with no windows for 12 to 14 hours a day, well, you know, you got options too, because you run the whole show.
That's right.
How bad do you think it's about to get for commercial real estate around the country? I've been able to see in Nashville. I mean, we just went through this massive boom in Nashville, all these new places built. And, you know, my wife was working downtown and now she might be working from home forever now. New buildings down there where they're closing off all the floors. I mean, you got to think the downtown epicenters in these big cities, they're going to start collapsing from the center out. That's what I feel like is going to happen anyway.
Yeah. So I think it's going to make a difference. So I believe if you look at San Francisco, who was it? Was a big company that was supposed to lease up all this office space, and they just paid like $110 million or $98 million to get out of the lease. So that they wouldn't have to do it, because they're sending everybody home and they're not going to do office space anymore. I think if more companies start to realize, hey, I've got 10,000 square feet of office space and I only need one, because I can consolidate down and get my people working mobile, and we now have infrastructure built and we've got organizational processes in order to run the business from a virtual standpoint. I think if a lot of companies start doing that, you're going to see commercial real estate just implode. We are going to see a lot of the retail stuff a lot of those are not coming back. A lot of the restaurants that were there, I think Yelp said 60% of all their businesses are closed or permanently closed, but that was going to happen anyway. You were continuing to see retail locations really start to implode. The old strip malls were going away and all of that stuff. So I think I think the whole system is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. If you want my honest opinion about it, I think that we're going to see a major economic recession, and both commercial and residential real estate are going to be hurt as well. Not residential, not as bad as commercial, but commercial for sure.
Yeah, I can't remember the actual number, but I read there was some amount of billions of dollars of unpaid rent during the pandemic. They're just like, eh, we're
commercial.
Not, yeah, yeah, commercial. Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to pay our rent. We're not.
Well, I'm not shocked by that, because it's pretty simple. The Federal Reserve is giving as much money as the banks want to them to keep their books afloat and to make sure that they don't go under. So why if you're a landlord, why would you pay the bank their rent? Why would you pay the bank their note? If you owned a business that the government said you can't run, why would you pay your landlord? I mean, everybody's just screwing everybody all the way to the top, and the Fed's going to backstop all of it anyway. So that's why you don't hear a lot of people talking about it or worried, because they know that the Fed is just going to print as much money as they have to in order to prevent the whole thing from coming apart.
Well, aside from the terrible economic doom that we're looking at, on the positive side, I do see that people working from home and all the businesses realizing that they can have people work from home, it could end up one, helping people move more towards things like what you're talking about in your book. Maybe they're going to find a side hustle and realize they could do something they're passionate about. Maybe they'll be happier because they're working from home and they're not spending time in traffic. I know my wife was spending about 2.5 hours in traffic every single day, and now she's not anymore. And so maybe she'll be a little bit happier. And the only bright side I can see through this whole terrible thing is maybe, unfortunately, through force, the businesses are going to see, I might lose a little bit of productivity because people are at home, But maybe we're going to make up for that because we're not paying for all of the commercial space and people are happier and all of that. There could be some bright sides to long term out of some of this. I hope so.
Yeah, I'm long term. I'm very optimistic about where we're going. It continues to be cheaper and easier for us to reach people and connect, and costs are coming down across the board from productivity gains. You're going to have artificial intelligence and automation is going to improve our lives in ways that we can't even understand. Biotechnology is, they're doing some incredible things with biotech right now. I'm really excited. I think this is the greatest time, as weird as it sounds, I think we live in the greatest time in human history. At no time have we had the type of opportunities we've had today. At no time have we been, as I say in the opening bit to my show, so close to living in a world where we can achieve true freedom in our lives. It's very exciting. And I think people need to be aware of the downside risks, because we don't want people living with their head in the sand. But if we dwell on that too much and we don't see the optimism, we don't see all of the opportunity, and we're not sharing that with our audiences, we're doing them a real disservice, because the future really is going to be bright for the people who make the right decisions.
That's like nothing could be more true. Like, especially, you know, the narrative, obviously, the media and the polarization and all of that. And you do obviously see some violence and things like that. But man, there's literally never been a better time to be alive. I mean, if you just compare it to whatever, even 10 years ago, I mean, the advances and opportunities that exist today, there's never been anything like it. I mean, the poorest among us are richer than Rockefeller ever was.
Yeah. You know? What we're doing right now, you know, personal computers, and we're doing video chats. When I started my first company, most of the videos that I put out, most of the trading videos I put out, I had to make them available for download, because people couldn't stream. They didn't have the bandwidth to stream HD videos, 720p video on their computers. Now you can do it on your cell phone, and it's not 720p, it's 4K. It's insane what we've been able to do in just the last decade. I could not be more excited, and I want other people to be excited. I want other people to be able to be as happy and fulfilled as I feel like I am. And so, I'm just lucky. Again, I'm just lucky that I get to wake up every day and help people realize that in their lives.
I have to ask you one more kind of related to the book, serious question here. What was there any point throughout your career, be it trading or whatever you've started, your ventures that you've started? Was there ever a time where things kind of kicked off slowly and you had those moments where you're like, oh man, this is never going to happen. I've put so much time and effort into it. Because one of the other reasons I think people don't pursue this type of life is they do start it out and then they end up giving up. There were times when Nate and I were recording this, I'm like, dude, we're putting so much time, so much effort and everything. I'm like, when is it finally going to pop? And then it did. And I was like, oh, okay, we spent enough time. And I think a lot of people give up before they put in that effort. Did you ever have those moments? And then what would you say for folks to push through that and keep the grind going?
Yeah, man, I've had them consistently. I had it with my podcast as well, and I've told that story a lot. But you know, one story I haven't really told is when my business partner and I had a falling out, and I ended up leaving that business. They filed a lawsuit against me because they didn't want me going out and doing it on my own. And, you know, they came after me for a non-compete agreement. And, you know, I basically got wiped out financially at that point. And I decided that I wanted to start teaching people the stuff that I do now, the consulting work that I do. And so I launched the new company. And for about the first 18 months, I really didn't make much money at all. I mean, I was working all the time. I was trying different stuff. I was trying to get the messaging right. I was trying to find the right people and build my list back up. And, you know, it takes time, and if you don't have money, it takes a lot of time. It's really easy to get 1 million people on your email list when you have $100 million to throw at it. Okay. It's really hard when you don't have any money and you're just putting out content all the time and hoping that it'll find the right people. Okay. It is, you are going to be met in your entrepreneurial career with setback after setback, failure after failure. And one of the things that I try and do when I work with folks is I try and get them to the money as quickly as possible, because the sooner you see it work, the sooner you start to see, oh yeah, I created this thing and, or I have this product or service and oh yeah, oh, that guy wants it. Like I found a dude who wants it. That is life-changing. When you, because for people who have never sold anything in their lives, who've never actually run a business before, there are all the questions that crop up are, can I really do this? Will people really buy this? That's crazy to me to think about. No one will pay that much money. I can't fathom the type of cash that you're talking about. But then when you start to see it, you're like, oh, it did work. Oh, I did what Jason said, and it really worked. Like that dude bought it. Oh, and this guy bought it too. And oh, these people want it too. It all of a sudden it starts to have, you start to taste it and it starts to become real.
There's nothing more rewarding.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh God. It's amazing. And so, yeah, we could spend all an entire episode of me talking to you about how all the failures that I've had and all the times that I just struggled and struggled and struggled to get something going. But I mean, you know, what is it? 2 years ago, my little company I had launched was doing probably $250,000, $300,000 a year. That's it. And I know that sounds like a lot of money to a lot of people, but after you pay everybody off mm-hmm. and you got to pay all your bills, dude, I got four kids to feed. It is not a, there's not a lot of, there was no money at the end of that day. Next year we'll probably, based on where we're going to come out this year, next year we're going to probably do 2 million, 3 million in revenue. And so we're marching our way towards 10 million, and that's the initial goal for the company. But dude, sometimes you got to struggle. Sometimes it's going to take you 6 months or a year or 2 years to get that first sale, to figure it out. It's one of the reasons I'm such a big advocate for, as self-serving as it is, I'm a big advocate for buying information, because the most difficult lessons you'll learn, the hardest and most expensive knowledge to acquire is the one acquired through your own efforts and energy. It's much, much easier to go out and find somebody who's done what you want to do and give them a little bit of money and have them teach you step by step how to do it. That has saved me more time and more money than anything else in my business.
I think definitely buying someone else's information and their experience is very important. A lot of people want to do it on their own. They want to figure out all that stuff on their own, you know, but which is great and can be very fulfilling, but it might take you 20 years to get the experience and the knowledge that someone else has already spent 20 years gaining that they're willing to teach you. So it's a big time saver for sure. I sign up for things all the time. I'm so excited to learn new things. Facebook and YouTube, they've got my name and my account number saved right there. When someone runs an ad, they know to send it directly to me because I'm probably going to pay for it more than likely. And I love it. I'll take someone's free trial, or I'll take their first discount a month. Maybe what if I take this and it changes my entire life? You know, is it not worth the $50 to potentially change your whole life?
The investment in your...
I got a call right after this. I'm hiring a guy to work with me on some LinkedIn marketing, and he's going to be teaching me how to generate some inbound leads from LinkedIn, something that I've been interested in doing for a while, and he's just crushing it. And so I'm like, dude, what do I got to pay to know what you know?
Yeah.
And so that I'm paying a couple $1,000 is what it's going to end up being. But at the end of the day, dude, if I get one client, one, it's going to pay for it, because dude, my monthly coaching fee is like $5,000 a month. So it's, all I got to do is get one sale and it pays for itself. I can't think of a single time that I bought information and it didn't pay off. It couldn't make it pay for itself.
Right.
We do. I mean, I guess this is kind of lifting the veil here just a little bit, but you know, we advertised with you a little while back earlier in the year, and we have a trading class going, and I can tell you that, the advertising was paid for. That was very nice for sure. Yeah. We had a lot of people that said they found us through your podcast. And you just got to be willing to make those kinds of investments. And now, you know, we do the ads through you guys and Tom Woods and Lions of Liberty and all the greats out there. You were talking about, it was something I struggled with a lot, so I thought it was could go a little bit more on it, but trying to not give up when things are really tough. I think one thing that's really important is setting a time horizon correctly. You know, like when you're talking to people, do you say, all right, you wouldn't want to say you're going to start making $1 million next month. You know, people, I think they're going to make it and blow up and be this overnight success, which is hardly a thing that's even real. And what they really need to know is that this could take a year, it could take 2 years. I think one thing people mess up with is they think it's going to happen overnight. And when it doesn't, they give up. And yep. Definitely with a podcast, you know, you can't think that it's going to blow up overnight or in 6 months even, because if that's all we were doing and we didn't have the other businesses going, I mean, podcasts take a while to get to bringing that money in. You said it's important to bring the money in and show them the money, real quickly. That's tough to do with a podcast for sure. You got to get to the point where you can sell ads, and that's going to take a while. If you're selling a product, you can get there faster, I think. But what do you teach as far as having the proper time horizons and expectations?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I know, having been in the industry that you guys are in for many, many years, I know how important properly setting expectations is, especially for traders, because that can be a grueling. It can take years and years to really figure that out. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't take that long as an entrepreneur to start making money if you've got a little bit of guidance. But here's the way I look at it like this. First thing I ask is, who do I want to work with? Because there are really two different types of people who are going to come to me. And this would be true in your business too. You have people who legitimately are trying to learn a skill, and who are willing to devote the time and the effort and the energy to learn the skill so that they can feed themselves for the rest of their lives. The other group is a group of opportunity seekers, and their goal is to make a whole lot of money really, really fast and to live that wild and crazy life that they imagine. So in trading, he's the guy who's jumping in and out of positions and he's screaming on the phone and he's doing all that, just acting a fool, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we all know that's not what real trading is. Real trading's pretty freaking boring when you're doing it right.
It should be. Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so when I market to people, I can market a couple of different ways. I can say, hey, I'm going to show you a quick and easy way for you to start making $100,000 a year or more for yourself from home, you know, from a coffee shop. And even if you have no money and no prior experience, right? Well, if I do that, who am I going to attract? I'm attracting the opportunity seeker. Okay. The way I've always positioned myself in the market is to say, listen, this is going to be hard. It's going to take you a long time. I don't know how long, but you are going to struggle. You are going to have failures. You're not going to be an overnight success. But if you still want to do this, if you need it like you need air, if you need freedom like you need air, then I will help you. And I'll do everything I can to shorten that learning curve and to get you to profitability as fast as I can. But that's the best care. That's the best offer I can make to you, because I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know it's going to be hard. You're going to have to really work if you want this, but the payoff is worth it. God, the payoff's worth it. And then to demonstrate through your life and the way that you live, that it is attainable, and that you can, that other people can do it too. So when it comes to setting expectations, I do it up front, and because I do it that way, I only attract people who are willing to put in the time, and I don't deal with a lot of the problems that a lot of people do if they sell to opportunity seekers.
Yeah, that's a very, very smart and good advice. Well, man, I know we're coming up on an hour, and we just really, really appreciate it. Good having you back on. Great discussion. I want you to tell people where to go find and pre-order this book. You said it's for pre-order, right? And then comes out on Monday. So where do they go find this? How do they start their nomadic wealth journey and on the path to true freedom, which is what we talk about every single day?
Yeah. Well, first of all, just thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for letting me come in and talk about the book and share kind of what I'm doing. It's I really appreciate it. You guys have always been great, and I appreciate you letting me do that. If your audience would like, I'd like to give them a free digital copy of the book. If they go to nomadicwealthoffer.com, they can get a free digital copy. And immediately after they take their free digital copy, it'll give them the opportunity to buy a paperback. We just ordered the first, I think, 1,000 of those. They're going to be showing up on Monday, and then we're going to be sending them out on next week. And so I believe on Monday, it will also be available on Amazon.com, so they can go there and they can get the book as well. But I'm not trying to make any money on the book. You don't get rich off books. I think to print and ship a book and get it in somebody's hands is somewhere around $6 or so. And so we priced the book at $9.99 just so that I make sure I'm not losing money. I would be happy to give them, like I said, a free digital copy if they don't even want to spend any money, because the most important thing to me is that people have the knowledge and the information. So it's nomadicwealthoffer.com. And then, if you guys want to listen to the podcast, it's Wealth, Power, and Influence on whatever podcasting app you use.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening to that interview with the Jason Stapleton, a guy who's probably becoming a friend of ours, wouldn't you say?
I hope so.
It sounds like it's friendship in the making.
One of my goals in life. So if he's not, then maybe the next interview. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's also really cool to set out a goal, and someone that you used to listen to all the time ends up coming on your show, and it's a cool thing.
You're saying you don't listen to him anymore?
No, I'm not saying that, Nathaniel Paul. I'm saying it used to be someone I thought was real famous.
You used to, you still do, but you used
well,
to
yeah.
too.
Yeah, that's what Mitch I'm trying Hedberg to say.
Would say. Yeah.
Used to, but I still do.
But you used to too.
But I used to too. Yeah.
Okay.
Without further ado, I used to too. So, no, but it is an honor to have him on. We really appreciate having him on. And it's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just, that's what I love about Freaky Fridays. You never know what you're going to get.
Today was Jason Stapleton.
Today was Jason Stapleton.
So go to nomadicwealth.com and get your copy of that book. Listen, it's time to take charge, take control of your wealth. All right. So go to nomadicwealth.com and get on that new book. You want to tell people about the Patreon?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah. Y'all need to go to Patreon, because you could have watched this interview live if you're part of the Patreon group, like our Patreon group got to do. They get to ask questions and comment and all kinds of cool things. So if you want to be a part of that, for as little as $5 a month, you go to patreon.com/goodmorningliberty. That's patreon.com/goodmorningliberty. There's all kinds of tiers in there, but I'm telling you, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to live group and all kinds of other cool perks. I am reviewing Braveheart on Monday, so make sure you watch that over the weekend, please, because it's going to be an epic review of Braveheart. I might even sneak Castaway in this weekend if I have time. So it's, I'm not going to review that one yet, okay, but I'm just going to get it in there.
My Castaway review the following Monday.
Okay. Okay. So if you want to be a part of the in crowd, if you want to be part of the cool people who watch that movie, then please watch that movie. And then
you need to be in the in crowd, so you know why we're joking around about Braveheart.
That's
and Castaway,
right, yeah.
Actually.
And so, to be part of the in crowd, you go to patreon.com/goodmorningliberty, hang out with us and Sam and Maurice and Josh and
Paul,
Jeff, Paul,
Tim,
Cheryl. There's all kinds of cool people
Jim.
In there. Isn't there Rachel? I'm trying to think, because we usually list off a lot of guys. There's girls in there too. So
yeah,
it's for everyone.
And if we didn't say your name, it doesn't mean that we don't care about you. It just means you need to up your subscription level.
Todd.
Kidding about the subscription level. We appreciate all of you guys equally. Although some of you we appreciate three times more than others.
Some Patreon supporters are more equal than others. So guys, go sign up, patreon.com/goodmorningliberty. And then please leave us a rating and review. That helps us out way more than you know. We did this contest not that long ago where the rating and reviews just went through the roof. And it was just so nice to hear everything that you guys were saying about us. I know it wasn't because there was a chance to win money. I know it was because deep down inside, that's the way you clearly feel about us. And really, I couldn't appreciate it more. And that helps us show up in the searches and everything with the algorithm. So leave us that rating and review on iTunes and then share the show with your freaking communist uncle. Okay. He needs to hear it. And maybe your socialist aunt.
Yeah.
And those folks need to know.
And your MAGA dad.
And your MAGA dad.
You know?
Yeah. Share it with all of them. And if you guys do all that, we'll be back again on Monday. Hope you have a good day and a good morning, Liberty.